let me get a bit of that witty water. That wiggity water. That wiggity water to get rid of the bumbly bees. What's up, Switch? My name is James, and we're talking about the nature of God. And specifically, we want to answer the question, who is God? This is a question that people have been wrestling with since the beginning of time. And it's such an important question because what we believe about God shapes what we believe about everything. It shapes what we believe about ourselves, others, and the world. And that's why this question is so important to answer. And that's what we're wrestling with today, the question of who is God. So if you'd ask me that question today, my answer would be unbelievably different than it was 7 years ago. Because 7 years ago, I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God. If you were to ask me who is God then, I would tell you that God is fake, that he's made up, that he's a fairy tale. And that happened because I started reading about all these different things and watching videos from speakers who were debating and dismantling Christianity. And they raised all these questions that I didn't have answers for. Questions like, how could a good and loving God allow evil to exist? Or how could a good God create a Bible that is seemingly so full of contradictions? How could the Bible be so opposed to seemingly science? How could a good and loving God have people who are honestly so judgmental and hypocritical? I started reading and hearing all these people talk about these questions that I didn't have answers for that led me to ultimately deciding that God is fake, that he's made up, and that he doesn't exist. Who is God? God is blank. We all fill in that blank with something. And that thing that we put in that blank is how we define God. And how we define God determines what we believe, which determines how we behave. So for you, what do you put in the blank? Who is God to you? Maybe you fill in that blank by saying God is fake. The only thing that exists is what you see in front of you. There's no objective morality. There's no free will. There is no higher power. All that there is us. Maybe for you, though, you fill in the blank by saying that God is an angry old man in the sky. Your view of God is this old man sitting up in the sky waiting for you to screw up so that he can punish you, or waiting for you to do the right thing so he can reward you. Or maybe for you, you fill in the blank by saying that God is the universe, that God is energy, attraction, spirituality. You got so fed up with these overly simplified versions of God that you heard about as a kid that you had this desire for something more, for something mysterious. Or maybe for you, your view of God is that God is a cosmic vending machine, that if you figure out the right combination of actions and prayers, then God is going to give you what you want. Or maybe for you, your view of who God is that God is indifferent, that God doesn't care, that because of all the chaos of life, that maybe there is a God, but he doesn't care, so why should you care about him? Or maybe your view of God is that God is you, that you decide what's good. You decide what's true, that nobody else can tell you how you should live your life, that ultimately that decision rests on you. Who is God to you? The problem with all these different versions of who God is that they leave out key aspects of what makes God God. They reduce him to something less than who he really is, the personal, loving creator of everything. And so what ends up happening is we either make up new parts or we stop believing in God altogether. And here's what breaks my heart. The fact that so many of us have chosen to believe in a version of God that is so much less than who God really is. And we're missing out on the beauty that is being a human being and knowing who God is and what that means for our lives. It breaks my heart that so many of us have chosen to believe in a version of God that we had to stop believing in because we felt like, if I believe in this God, I've got to turn my brain off. And I'm just not okay with that. But now we find ourselves in a place where we're trying to figure out how to do life well, how to make the most of our time on earth. It breaks my heart that so many of us have chosen to stop believing in God altogether, or maybe we're still believing in a God that just isn't God. Now, what I'm about to say might offend you, but if the version of God you used to believe in was really God, then I would still be an atheist. So, who is God, really? What I want to do with the rest of our time is give you three pictures for who God is that I believe are more true of who God really is and significantly more helpful for living a purposeful and meaningful life. So, who is God? God is. Period. Like, God simply is. God is existence. God is infinite. He's eternal. He's timeless. He is immaterial. He is literally outside of time and space. He is impossible for our finite minds to comprehend. Now, I know when I say all that stuff, it doesn't really make sense and it can be a little bit confusing, and that is absolutely true because God simply is. But check out this interaction between God and Moses that we can read about in Exodus. Here's what it says. It says that Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them that the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So when Moses asked God what his name was, God said, I am. I am who I am. And just quick grammar lesson for you. Am is a form of be, which is also the same thing as is. So am is be. God is literally answering Moses by saying that I simply am. I am existence. I am being. So who is God? God is. Later on in that same passage, God says this to Moses. He says, this is my name forever. The name that you shall call me from generation to generation. God is saying that he is the God of every generation. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God simply is. So who is God? God is. Eventually though, God gives us a better picture for who he is, a better way to understand him. So who is God? God is Jesus. Paul, in his letter to the Colossian church, writes this in chapter 1, verse 15. He says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. So 2,000 years ago, God showed up in history. He showed up full of grace and full of truth. He showed up as the person of Jesus, the embodiment of love, literally love in a body. And he introduced a new way of being human, a new ethic to help us love people the same way that he has loved us. It was through Jesus that God showed us what love really looks like in person. One of my favorite things about being a Christian is the new ethic, the new way of being human that Jesus introduced to the world 2,000 years ago, an ethic that the world is still trying to catch up to, loving one another the same way that he has loved us, selflessly, unconditionally, and sacrificially. And that's not just something that Jesus talked about, he showed it by washing the feet of his disciples, by dying on a cross for you and for me. And it was that ethic that made me want to believe in God again, because I met people who really loved God and who really loved me. And even though I was skeptical of what they believed, I was jealous of the way that they treated each other and the way that they treated me. And it caused me to start questioning the things that I had thought I had answers for. It started to get me to question why I didn't believe in God. And what I realized is that the God I stopped believing in was not the same God that these people believed in. And what I realized is that God was so much bigger, better, and more beautiful than I ever imagined. That what I was missing was the God as expressed and as revealed through Jesus. And maybe you find yourself in a place today where you're not sure what to do with what you believe about God because you stopped believing in God altogether. But secretly you have a crush on Jesus because of the way that he taught and because of the way that he lived. Or maybe you're realizing that the version of God that you believe in is so much less than who God really is. The question becomes, what do you do when you are holding on to a picture of God that is less than who God really is? Where do you go from there? Here's what you do. You choose to identify those false beliefs that you have about God, and then you replace them with beliefs that are more true and helpful of who God really is. Here's some questions to ask yourself. What false beliefs do you have about God? And how have those beliefs influenced the way that you view yourself, others, and the world? And then ask, how have those views affected the way that you live on a day-to-day basis? Because it absolutely affects what we do and how we live. What beliefs do you have about God that aren't true and need to be replaced? And then once you've replaced those false views, here's what you can do. You can start to see God as all the mystery and wonder that he is, as existence itself. And then you can start to see God as Jesus, as literally love, grace, and truth in a human form, in the person of Jesus. So who is God? We've talked about the fact that God is. We talked about God is Jesus. But I know there are many of us who, if we were asked to fill in the blank, we would say that God is love. Now, where did that idea come from? Why is it that when we hear that and we say that, it just feels right? Well, the secret is that idea came from one of Jesus' earliest followers, a guy named John, who spent 3 years doing life with Jesus, learning from him and being one of his followers. And what's interesting is that at the end of his life, John was writing a letter to the early church with some of the things that he had learned in his life and the things that he had learned from Jesus. And we can read that in a letter that's in our Bible today called 1 John. And what he writes is this in chapter 4. He says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Why did John say that God is love? John said that God is love because he saw love in a body. He saw love in the person of Jesus. He saw love in action. And he knew that the picture of God that he saw in Jesus was true of who God is. And it told this truth that we can grab onto today, that the overriding quality that makes God God is his love for you and his love for me, that God is love. He goes on to say, though, in verse 9, that God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. God didn't just talk about love from heaven. He showed us love in person, the person of Jesus. So who is God? God is. God is Jesus, and God is love. And when we have a better picture for who God is, it changes what we believe about everything. It shapes how we see everyone and everything. When we see that God is, we realize that God is bigger than our questions. When we see that God is Jesus, we understand that God wants to have a personal relationship with us and that we can relate to him, that he is full of grace and he is full of truth. And when we understand that God is love, we recognize the truth that when we know God, our lives will look different, because we will love others the same way that he has loved us through his son, Jesus. This is why it matters to understand who God is, because what we believe about God shapes what we believe about everything, which shapes how we live. And if you want to live a meaningful life, have a better understanding of who God is. So who is God? God is. God is Jesus. And God is love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time that we got to share today. I thank you that you revealed to us who you are, the fact that you simply are, you are existence, that you are Jesus, and that you are love. I pray right now that we would feel and understand the truth that you love us deeply and that you want us to know you personally. What I know is that there are many people who maybe you would recognize today that the version of God that you've believed in or that you stopped believing in wasn't really God. And you want to identify those false beliefs. You want to replace them with the truth of who God actually is. And you want God's help to do that. If that's you, would you simply lift your hand so we can pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you for those students that are saying they want to know you better. They want to know who you really are. They want to see you as you are, revealed through your word and revealed through your son, Jesus. God, I pray that you'll give them wisdom to know who you are and that you will give them the courage to live out the life that you have invited them to live. Still in an attitude of prayer with every head bowed and every eye closed. I know there are others of you who are here today that you don't know who God is, maybe because you've never believed in God or you stopped believing in God. But today you've realized that there's something that you've been missing, that that false version of God that you chose not to believe in wasn't really God. And the more that you're hearing about who God really is, you realize that that's what you've been missing, that more, that meaning, that purpose in your life. Here's the good news, is that God wants a relationship with you. The problem, though, is that every single one of us as human beings, we've sinned. We've done things that have hurt ourselves, others, and the heart of God that has created a separation between us and God. But the good news is that God sent his son, Jesus, to die for you and to die for me so that we could be made right with God. We could be forgiven of our sins. Jesus died on a cross for you and for me, but on the third day, he was raised from the dead so that anybody who believes in him would be saved, would have eternal life with God forever. And if you're here today and you realize that's what you've been missing, a relationship with Jesus, and you want to become a follower of him, then simply lift your hand right now.